From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, she climbs the flowery mountains or the hills and by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome, she's known quite well by all. She's a regular combination on the Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar, as she glides along the woodland or the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear those lonesome hobos call, traveling through the jungle on the Wabash Cannonball. She came down from Birmingham one cold December day. As she pulled into the station, you could hear all the people say, she's from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. She came down from Birmingham on the Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar, as she glides along the woodland or the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear those lonesome hobos call, traveling through the jungle on the Wabash Cannonball.
All right, everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show here. It's August 3, 2011 here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. It's already August. I would guess for most of you across the country, it's felt like August for months. But literally, summer did not start here until, like, this week.
Pretty much, yeah.
Used to be the joke that summer in Seattle started on, I think this is July 5th. Well, try July 31st. That's the new summer here in Seattle.
And I expect it to be gone, by the way, in 2 weeks.
I can't complain too much, though, because it's been a great week. I actually have a suntan.
Really?
It's amazing.
That's weird.
Well, I've been hanging out in the backyard when the sun's out. It's just shocking that I'm able to do this. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. It is a free show, so we'll be doing some shout-outs here at the end. And I guarantee, make a lot of guarantees here and there. I guarantee that, I've said it before. If you like this show, I guarantee that if you sign up for a subscription, you will not be disappointed. Guarantee it. If you like this show, then I guarantee that for $10.99, you will be satisfied with your subscription to figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. So, give this show a shot. I know most of you listen to this free every week anyway. But hey, what are you waiting for? It's $10.99.
Cheap bastards.
$10.99. Not only for the full month and all of the different radio shows that we do, but you get the Wrestling Observer, you get Figure Four Weekly, you get back issues of both newsletters. We got observers from 1991 through 1994 on the website right now. Plus, every observer since 2008 is up on the site. Got like, I don't even know how many Figure Fours up on the site, but a lot. Brand new issues every week. Plus the radio shows, and as noted, if you sign up, not only you get all of these new shows, but you get our full archive dating back to 2005. That's a lot of shows. That's thousands and thousands and thousands of shows. Thousands of hours of audio. If you signed up today and you only paid $10.99, you said, I'm going to sign up today for $10.99 and I'm never going to sign up again. And I'm just going to listen to every show they've got. Good luck with that, because you can't. It's impossible. You not only get shows like this with myself and Vinny, you get Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer. We're doing a series this month in August with all of our hosts, because we have a number of other hosts who do a number of other shows. We cover pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, the history of wrestling, wrestling and mixed martial arts, independent wrestling. Even did some After Dark shows. Maybe those will come back at some point. That covered the Loch Ness Monster, for example. Literally anything you can imagine is covered here on this website in some form or fashion. And we're going to have all of the various hosts appear on the program over the next month and tell you why you should listen to these shows if you have not been. For example, Alan Farrell was on today of the Dr. Keith show, and we talked about Japanese pro wrestling. And we talked about Dragon Gate, and we talked about PWG, we talked about Yoshitatsu. So yeah, it's going to be a good time. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. We have three free radio shows up there right now. There's about 5 hours of audio you can listen to completely for free. You don't have to sign into anything. You don't have to fill anything out. Just go to the website. They're right there to download. Put them on your iPod. Listen to them during work or during your shitty commute. Believe me, I know how shitty commutes are. I don't have a commute, but I got to go places all the time. And the commute is shitty. And if I didn't have this website, it'd be pretty cool if I had a website like this that I can listen to during that shitty commute. So check it out, and if you like it, sign up. And if you sign up, you get a free shout-out. We're going to read some of those later on in this program. And I can also guarantee that this is the only show in the world where you are going to get reviews of SmackDown, Raw, TNT from the early 80s, and Shawn Michaels' Hunting Show. All in one program.
I suspect that is a safe bet.
I guarantee there's no other show that's reviewing these four shows on one particular program. So, check it out. Let's get started here with SmackDown. Vinny, kick it off. Let's get the show on the road.
SmackDown was below average this week. Hunter came out to open the show. Crowd loved him. Said he was... the more he tried to fix things, the more screwed up they got. He was about to address the world championship here on SmackDown when...
By the way, you know what's funny about this below-average show with Hunter coming out?
What's that?
It did a huge rating.
That is funny. Did you watch the show?
I did watch the show.
It did not seem terribly newsworthy or exciting.
Well, Triple H is back.
I guess that's it.
Triple H is, in fact, a star and a ratings draw, everybody.
You know, I do have a brother-in-law who's one of the many people who used to watch wrestling, and the first guy he asks about every time is Triple H.
Yeah.
He matters.
He does matter.
He matters. So, yes, he was on the show, and he was adored by the live crowd here. He did briefly address the CM Punk deal from Raw. He skimmed over it here, although he actually made it clear on the following Raw, but he mentioned in passing CM Punk, I re-signed him late Monday night, and he did not make it nearly clear enough that he'd actually signed Punk during the show. It didn't really matter because they...
Well, that's because they've got three different stories so far.
I see.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, he was talking here. Christian finally interrupted. He said he was happy Hunter was in charge because it meant Teddy Long wasn't running the show anymore. Hunter said that Vince McMahon had fostered an environment where people were encouraged to interrupt others and step on toes. However...
Sounds familiar.
However...
I got a lot in common with Vince.
I don't think... No, you do not encourage an environment You do not foster an environment where people are encouraged to interrupt others. You foster an environment where you are encouraged to interrupt everyone.
That's not true. Dave interrupts me constantly. Actually, there's eight threads on the board right now about this fact.
Yes. I was thinking more about just our own personal relationship.
Sure, and I foster that environment. I'm exactly like Vince McMahon.
All right. Anyway, Hunter said that unlike Vince, he takes interruptions as a slap in the face, and if you slap him, he will slap back harder. He told Christian that Orton was going to get a rematch for the title at SummerSlam, and just to make sure Christian had no rules violations to bitch about, it would be no holds barred. So Christian started a protest when who should interrupt but Truth, who is technically a Raw guy. They did some comedy. It wasn't funny. Hunter booked Truth against Orton, and he said that he brought someone else from Raw to wrestle Christian, and it was John Morrison, and that match was next. Segment was fine, and as noted, people love Triple H, so there you go.
He ain't going to mean a thing for ratings in about 2 weeks, though.
I was going to say by next week.
Since he's on every single show all the time.
He was on every single show all the time, and he came out here and he just talked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is a promo of the year or anything. So backstage, Hunter was chatting with Teddy when Zack Ryder interrupted.
Yeah.
Think about this, everyone. Zack Ryder just interrupted Triple H on television. Amazing. Hunter said Zack was harassing him with 15 times a day with different ideas. Zack said, yeah, this is the best one yet. Hunter said, fine, you want to be in the show? You're now Teddy Long's assistant. And he walked away, and Zack was happy, and Teddy Long was sad.
You know, the Zack segments on this show, they were fine, but not in a single one was I begging for more Zack Ryder.
No. He fit in fine as a wacky TV character. He's not anything I can't wait to see until next week. Or the fact that, you know, that he was on three or four times in the show, and I was not terribly thrilled any time he came on. So Christian wrestled John Morrison. John Morrison, first match back, no build, unannounced.
At 40%. 60%, I'm
at
sorry.
60%. He did fuck up a body slam, which they, on commentary, blamed on his neck injury, which may have been true for all we know. He did bust out a standing Spanish fly
well,
at one point.
Hold on a second.
What's that?
So he is wrestling Christian, mm-hmm. who probably weighs $195, who is going up for him.
Yeah.
If John Morrison cannot body slam Christian with assistance, then he sure needs to be out of the ring immediately.
Fair enough. Nothing else went wrong, though, and Christian eventually cut him off and hit the kill switch. And there are worse fates than losing a competitive match to the world champion, but this is Morrison's big return, and he lost. He's a loser.
Yeah.
They showed Jinder Mahal and Great Khali enjoying the
show. Well, he lost to the world champion, at least.
I did mention that.
Yeah.
I would think it would be better to beat a geek than lose to the world champion.
Sure.
All right. Wade Barrett got a promo in the ring. Josh Matthews told us Wade was savvy and eloquent. Phony. Wade said he came to WWE to make himself a lot of money, but he had lost track of that. He was reminded of his goals when he saw Daniel Bryan waving around his briefcase that should have been Wade's. There were huge Daniel Bryan chants in the crowd. Bryan eventually interrupted. Michael Cole then went ballistic. He was burying Bryan on commentary, as he always does. But he was doing this nonstop, repetitive, just rattling off quote-unquote jokes as fast as he could. There was no upside to this. It was not entertaining. Made Bryan look like a dork, pointing out his weaknesses, which is exactly the opposite of what commentators are supposed to do. Just sucked. So he defended himself, Bryan did, to Wade. Wade finally punched him. Then he put his finger in Bryan's face, and Bryan grabbed it and applied the lapel lock, and Wade tapped out. So aside from the Michael Cole stuff, the stuff in the ring was a fine segment. Michael Cole made it, horrible.
I don't get this whole Michael Cole thing with Daniel Bryan. Listen, if you're Vince McMahon and you think that Daniel Bryan is a geek and a loser and he has no charisma, then why did you bother putting the briefcase on him?
Well, I don't know.
And if you don't think that he's a geek and a loser and a fool, then why are you having your lead commentator repeatedly call him that throughout the show?
I don't know
like,
that
what
either.
Purpose is, I mean, is Daniel Bryan going to beat up Michael Cole? I don't think so. So what is going to be the culmination of this other than him vomiting at WrestleMania, which I don't need to see?
I have no idea. I don't understand the point of it. It's counterintuitive to me. You know, and Brian's the worst example of when Cole does this. But he'll do the same thing when the women come out. He'll talk about what a horrible match it's going to be and thank God it's over and stuff. And I don't get it. I don't know why you have the voice of your company. And on SmackDown, make no mistake, he is the voice of the company. I don't understand why he's out there telling everyone how terrible the product is. I don't understand it. Mark Henry was bitching to Teddy Long about not having an opponent. Teddy said nobody wanted to wrestle him. So
it's probably true.
That's just not. It's probably a shred of truth to that. Truth to that. Zach said no problem. He'd get an opponent for Henry. They did a cool video package on Justin Gabriel. He was returning to South Africa as a WWE superstar. Made him look like a friendly guy. Everyone loved him and a real star. And he was telling a story about his dad was a wrestler who died when Justin was 18. And how much it meant to him to go home and have achieved such success. It was a good package that made him look like a total babyface, so I assume he's going to turn.
I think he's been a babyface for like 3 weeks.
He broke up with Heath Slater and nothing has happened. He may have.
I think the idea was he broke up and he's now the babyface.
All right. They could have done a better job of getting to that point, but it's probably going to work out in the long run. Speaking of the women's match that Michael Cole likes to bury, Natalya and Caitlin and AJ versus Alicia and Tamina and Rosa. Natalya and Tamina wrestled for a minute. It was great while they got to, and then it fell apart. At one point in this match, Michael Cole told Booker T to get a thesaurus and learn new words.
Yeah.
Vintage, controlled frenzy, must-see superstar, pound and ground attack.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cole said that someone had to get a thesaurus and learn new words. In 2 minutes, Alicia pinned AJ with an axe kick. Caitlin and Rosa did almost literally nothing, so it was not horrible. It was merely useless.
AJ is improving.
Sure.
She's still pretty bad.
And apparently still better than Caitlin.
And she still cannot run the ropes to save her life.
Yeah.
No one can from developmental. I say this every single week. Can we get a rope running coach?
I guess not. They showed Mark Henry destroying Big Show at the pay-per-view and Kane last week on SmackDown. So we had Mark Henry versus a mystery opponent. They announced him several times before he came out. Finally, a very skinny indie geek timidly walked out on stage in fear for his life. We were told his name was Bobby Howard and that he weighed 185 pounds. I don't believe either of these. He changed his mind and turned to go to the back when Zach appeared and gave him a pep talk and sent him down to the ring. He got in the ring, and within 5 seconds, Mark Henry tree slammed him, kicked him, and hit the World's Strongest Slam. Awesome. He then killed some time for a while, hit another World's Strongest Slam, and then a backbreaker for the pin. This is an A-level squash. He grabbed a chair.
Was I like that he's got a new finish.
A backbreaker.
Yeah.
It's awesome. He grabbed a chair, was going to pilmanize the dude's leg. Teddy came running down to the ring frantically, saying he couldn't let Henry compete anymore. Nobody wanted to face him. This wasn't helping. They were already facing one lawsuit and couldn't take another. At this point, who should interrupt but Sheamus?
Yep.
He sauntered down to the ring all jolly. He said if Teddy was looking for a fella to fight Mark Henry, he'd do it. He told an Irish folktale that involved fairies, a magic wand, and a bag of crap. I assume this is not a real Irish folktale. The crowd was chanting his name. The two big, scary men had a stare down. And then Sheamus hit him. And Henry charged, but Sheamus low-bridged him. Sheamus grabbed a chair and dared Henry to get in the ring. They stared down for a while, and finally Henry went to the back. This was so awesome up to the stare down, and then they just did too much stuff.
Nah, it was fine.
It was fine.
He just came after him and got low-bridged. Yeah. It was fine.
I was way more into it in the middle than I was at the end. Speaking of things I was not into, the Usos wrestled David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy, who are still the tag team champs. Finish to this sucked. Otunga slammed one of the Usos off the apron, then threw his limp body into the ring. The referee was distracted by this dead man, apparently trying to interfere, and tried to roll the limp body out. At this point, the other Uso was thrown off the top rope, and McGillicuddy hit a neckbreaker and pinned him. This all went 3 minutes, did nobody any favors, and the tag team champions are still geeks.
This was not much of a match. I like the Usos.
I do, too.
Otunga and McGillicuddy as tag champs... I don't know. I just don't know what to say. Why do you even have tag team championships?
That, I've been saying that for a long time, but legitimate question. Are they worse champions than Santino and Vladimir?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Because at least people cared about Santino
and
Vladimir.
They cared about the Cobra. All right.
I think the Usos would be fine tag team champions.
They'd be hell of a tag team champions.
David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy, the two most vanilla guys in the company. Even though I have to hear on Monday everyone talk about how Otunga just really has it.
Yeah.
Still trying to figure out what that is, aside from a physique. Because I can't think of a single other thing. A physique and a wife who isn't even on WWE television.
There was a point, I figured I was here on Monday, but Cole was listing the things he liked about Otunga, and his wife was one of them.
You know, maybe Otunga does have it. But you know what? We never see that on television, ever. So they need to stop talking about it.
Yeah. Zach wanted to book Ezekiel Jackson versus Cody Rhodes and Teddy DiBiase. Teddy was upset about this, but Zach said, "Don't worry, bro. I talked to them all. They're happy with it." And Teddy Long just stewed. Truth cut a great promo about how to kill a snake. Talked about stepping on its head and peeling his skin off, and said tonight the Viper was going to get got. This is fantastic. Ezekiel Jackson versus Cody Rhodes and Teddy DiBiase. It was as bad as you would think. They beat up Zeke for a while. He hit some body slams. Something got fucked up. Cody pinned Zeke with Crossroads. Sucked.
Mm. This Zeke thing is not working.
No. He is not as vanilla as Otunga and McGillicuddy, but he's much worse.
I thought the multiple body slam gimmick was going to get over, because it kind of got over the first time he ever did it, and now it's not over. I don't know why.
Mainly because it's kind of funny. The first time you see a guy, he does do a bunch of body slams.
Maybe if he kept doing more. Maybe if in one match he did 50 body slams, he'd be over.
It's worth a try, because he's not over right now.
Yeah. That's what they should do. I just had a great idea. They need to do, first off, whatever you're doing with the mic stand, stop. Second off, what they need to do with a guy like Zeke is he needs to go on a streak, like Goldberg, but it's a streak of body slams. And you don't tell anybody this is going to happen. The fans got to figure it out organically on their own. But he starts with a body slam in a match. And to kick it off, it's got to be like a big guy. Maybe he slams the Big Show.
Again.
One time. So then the next match, maybe he's with Kane, and he slams Kane 2 times in a row. And then in the third match, he slams David Otunga 3 times. And you keep doing this on TV, and you hope that people start bringing signs. You know, now he's on 16 body slams on Zack Ryder. And then the next week on SmackDown, he's at 17 body slams. What do you think about that?
It's actually not the worst idea you've ever had.
I mean, Jesus, at least it's something for this poor guy. And then we'd have to just see how many body slams can this man do?
He got from the 40s and he's just
even with help.
Blown up, yes.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal cut a promo for some reason on the crowd from the luxury box. He rambled on in not English for a while. And then the great Khali tried to get the crowd to chant Jinder Mahal's name. I have always thought that great Khali was mumbling mainly because his English was not very good. But here he was speaking his native tongue and you could still barely understand him. I believe at one point he was trying to say Jinder Mahal and it came out Ginderbog.
Yeah.
The crowd chanted USA at them.
Can you imagine if, like, they started that streak right now, and what do we got, like, 24 weeks until WrestleMania or something like that? I don't know how many. But at WrestleMania, everyone knows it's going to be number... Maybe they could even... Oh, God damn it. They could have, like... they could have set it up so it'd be 28 body slams at WrestleMania 28. And he'd go out there in his match, and with like, you know, 70,000 people there counting along for 28 body slams in a row on Zack Ryder, they'd both be over at the end.
I'm picturing someone like Santino cutting a promo about how Ezekiel Jackson, you body slammed your last opponent 19 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You won't body slam me 20 times in a row.
Yeah. And then at the end, one of these days, he's just got to get fucked by somebody. Like, he's going for number 50, and at 49, someone slides in and clips his leg, and the guy falls on him and pins him. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
This is not the worst idea.
Yeah.
Truth versus Orton. Christian came out to watch. They had a very, very forgettable match, because I forgot everything. Truth proceeded to hit Orton with a plastic bottle of water. This caused Orton to snap and attack Truth for the DQ. Stupid!
Well, they did it on purpose because there will be no DQs at the SummerSlam.
Yeah, there was at least that point to it. So, Christian was watching all of this in fear. Orton destroyed Truth. He hit an RKO on the announce table, which didn't break again. So, he went back to try...
Well, it's an enforced table now.
I see.
Because the idea is it doesn't break, it doesn't break, it doesn't break, it doesn't break. And then at SummerSlam, it breaks when he does it to Christian this time.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That sucks for Orton.
Yeah.
I did not know that was their plan. That's...
Well, it's just a bump on a table. He'll be all right.
Yeah, it's not fun. So he eventually, yes, he did the RKO to Truth on the table again. The table still didn't break, and that was that. SmackDown is usually a missable show, but at least it's fun. This week it was missable and mostly boring.
Yeah, I wasn't into this week's show. I fell asleep. I'm joking.
I wouldn't blame you at all.
I've actually never fallen asleep during a wrestling show in my entire life. And I know that Dave has, because I've been there. During SmackDown, actually. It was like 2:40 in the morning. And he was like, let's go watch SmackDown. And I'm thinking, why the fuck would we want to go watch SmackDown at 2:40 in the morning on a Friday night? But we did. And... you know, I wanted to sleep, but, you know, Dave, he's a machine. Let's go watch SmackDown at 2:40 a.m. So I went downstairs, turned on the SmackDown on the big TV. He's on one end of the couch, I'm on the other, watching this show. And literally like 10 minutes in, I all of a sudden hear snoring. And so I went upstairs and went to bed.
There you go.
And for all I know, he just slept there the whole night. Yeah. So I outlasted Dave Meltzer. Write that down if I should go first. All right, Raw. I don't think I have any good songs here.
All right.
Just start with Raw. I'll look around.
Raw opened with the biggest pyro explosion in some time. So this is the... apparently Hunter likes fireworks. That's what I guess is going on here. There was a guy in a Blue World Order shirt in the crowd in 2011. That was amazing. So the show opened with a very, very, very long segment of CM Punk and Triple H going back and forth on the mic. Don't need to recap the entire thing. It was very long, but the key is at one point, Hunter said the fans wanted Punk back, so he signed him back against his own personal feelings. So Punk wanted to know what Hunter's personal feelings were, so Hunter said, I think you're a smug, overrated, attention-seeking guy that puts a little too much stock in his own hype. This led to a few small but audible chants of overrated. So Punk started talking about everyone that Vince had screwed on the talent roster, how they lost guys like Batista and Mick Foley and Jericho and Brock Lesnar. Said Hunter couldn't afford to see Punk go anywhere else. Hunter said, fine, as long as you're telling them the truth, let's talk about why you really re-signed. Basically, because you are an attention whore. You need the WWE as a platform. Otherwise, you're just a geek with a megaphone. He vowed to fix the two champions, the situation with the two champions later tonight. Punk called him back, said he wasn't going to shut up just because he signed his contract. He talked about Hunter's massive ego, how he hogged the spotlight over people who deserved it more. He did a hell of an imitation of Triple H burying dudes to Stephanie. Called him a bully who liked to throw his weight around. Hunter said, yes, I do have a massive ego, and right now that ego is telling me to slap the tattoos off your skinny fat ass. He said he took this job with the fans, knowing it came with rules, and he was going to follow them. Punk tried to pick a fight, accused Hunter of hiding behind his wife, and finally left. It was fun. It just went really, really long.
I thought both guys did a good job, but 25 minutes, 898 words I wrote on this interview alone, just trying to get through everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, too much stuff. That's what this was.
I mean, it was too much
stuff.
When
there's too much stuff to process, it's, I don't know. Like his original interview, keep in mind, Punk's original, the famous interview, was 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
Okay. This was four times as long as that first interview. I know that Punk likes to talk. I know he's a good talker. I know they had a lot of stuff to try to tie together here, but 25 minutes was overkill for this particular segment. It didn't kill the angle or anything like that, although it was odd that they're still strongly building up Punk versus Hunter, which was, by the way, the original plan for SummerSlam. It is not now, which only makes this more strange. So
there's a lot of strangeness going on. We saw Morrison and Ray. They did a wacky skit where Morrison did a wacky flip over Ray backstage. And Michael Cole, speaking of burying the talent, told us they were doing goofy parkour to warm up. We had a Divas Battle Royal in which I think half a dozen girls were out in the first minute.
We do have a song, by the way, and it's awesome. But I'm going to play it after this review.
Kelly was doing commentary for this, and shockingly, I thought she did a perfectly fine job.
Yeah, because she was pissed off at Cole.
Good. Whatever it takes.
Wrong. Because what it take for her to get pissed off at Cole was Cole ruining the show.
Well, there's that. But I have seen, obviously Natalya came to mind as someone who was on commentary and did a horrible job. But a lot of the guys, too, are not as good as Kelly was here. She was fine. And I was stunned at this because she never talks. So they had to do this battle royal. And the finish is Beth Phoenix carrying both Bellas around her shoulders at one time and dumping over the top rope. That was awesome. So Kelly's congratulating her. And I'm thinking to myself, girl, this woman's going to kill you. And sure enough, she killed her right there in front of my eyes. And she said Kelly's days as the perky blonde bimbo champ were over.
I wonder if they're going to do an angle based on Beth and Punk dating.
You mentioned this last week. Mm. It's possible. Should we win the belt and then leave?
Sure.
That'd be great.
What a swerve.
Truth had a meeting with Miz. They were in a tag match later, and he sort of convinced Miz there was a conspiracy around these parts. Josh interviewed Cena. Cena said he would be there when Hunter made his decision later.
Yippee.
Yeah. Truth and Miz wrestled Ray and Morrison. They showed clips of Miz and George Lopez. This turned into a hell of a tag match by the end. Truth was set up for the 619. And Truth was set up for the 619. Miz broke it up and distracted Morrison. This let Truth hit Pater on Morrison for the win, which is good because for a while, though, it was looking like Morrison was just going to pin Truth and get the win back and the feud over right there. But no, Truth pinned Morrison here. The feud continues. I'm fine with that. And Miz also killed Morrison for good measure, which seemed unnecessary, and they hit him with a water bottle.
So Morrison came back at 60% and has immediately been pinned twice and then laid out.
Yeah.
Wise decision, fella.
I don't know what to tell you.
There was an awesome deal where four men held up four signs that read, "You gon' get got."
Yes. That is the best catchphrase they have.
Awesome. I'm a fan of "You gon' get okey-doked."
You're the one.
Oh, come on now.
I suspect if you put up a poll, if you put a poll on your website saying which catchphrase is better, "You gon' get got" or "You gon' get okey-doked."
Real men would say okey-doked.
Hmm.
That's the kind of saying that I need to bring into my normal life, my real life.
When you can okey-doke someone tomorrow in your jiu-jitsu class.
If I only had a real life. Yeah, I could explain that. So then you put your hand deep into the collar, and then bam, this man's okey-doked.
You okey-doke him.
Yeah. I'm going to use that one tomorrow.
Let me know how it goes. Report back. Josh interviewed Hunter, who buried Josh for not shaving. He blew off what Punk was saying, said it didn't bother him. People have been talking about his wife for 10 years. He was fine with Cena coming out later, but warned him to keep it strictly business. The SummerSlam moment was Ultimate Warrior killing the Honky Tonk Man. That dude sure was over. And people sure cared about the Intercontinental title once upon a time. Now the title champion is Ezekiel Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
This just made me sad.
He's not even doing a body slam gimmick.
No. Dolph Ziggler came out with Vicky. Said he had more skills than anyone, more talent than anyone, and more charisma than anyone. And at the last line, I actually laughed out loud. Riley interrupted. Said Dolph had never accomplished anything on his own, just like Miz never had. He dared Dolph to drop Vicky, said without her, he'd be exposed as a fraud. And Dolph backed away and was shouting, I don't even know who you are. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. You carried a briefcase. It was fine.
Yeah, I didn't realize this until I looked back at the newsletter last week. But I did, in fact, predict that Alex Riley was doomed after that tournament. And he wasn't over here.
Yeah.
They cheered when his music hit, and that was the extent of it.
And I think that's largely because that is a cool song.
I'm thinking it's one of those songs that that cheering is a part of the song.
That's possible.
Mm.
I doubt it, but it's possible. Otunga. I like Otunga. Mm. David Otunga and Mike McGillicuddy were back. They wrestled the team of Santino Marella and Zack Ryder. The tag team champions did not get an entrance for this match. We have talked before about how, for all the acclaim Zack gets on YouTube and all the fans he has online, it doesn't translate onto reactions on television. It translated tonight. These fans wanted Zack Ryder.
And then he lost,
and they booed. Cole also buried him for spending $1,500 on a fake belt, and to be fair, that is stupid.
Can't believe this guy.
Cole?
He's an idiot.
Yeah. How much of it do you think is him being an idiot, and how much of it is him doing what he is told?
I'm sure it's all him being what he's told, but right. I still blame him.
All right. He is the one on camera doing it.
By the way, why would it be a big deal if Zack Ryder spent $1,500 on a internet championship belt if the gimmick is that these wrestlers are all supposed to be rich? Vince McMahon went out of his way in the CM Punk promo to mention that, well, you're already rich.
Yeah.
Because the idea, these guys are supposed to be, this is an Impact where the fucking storylines are that I ain't got no money and I can't eat. These guys are supposed to be rich. So who gives a fuck if he spent $1,500 on a belt? Cole, you jackass.
Josh interviewed.
There was a snake puppet during this match.
Yes, Zach Santino has a cobra sleeve or puppet or something to represent the cobra move he does. And he put it on here and debuted it and then didn't even get to hit the cobra.
Mr. Snake-O.
Is that complicated to wait until you do a match when you want to hit the cobra and then you pull the puppet out?
No, these people don't think.
Josh interviewed Punk. He was being very friendly. He said he was merely testing Hunter Hearst Helmsley earlier, said he passed with flying colors. He was sure the relationship would go well, and he said that he beat Cena, so he should be the champ. Alberto versus Evan had a very fun short match. Alberto won with the armbar. Evan, the only complaint here is that Evan sat in this hold for way too long before tapping out. But other than that, it was good. So then he put it on again, and Kofi Kingston made the save for a match that, frankly, I had no desire to see.
Ricardo Rodriguez is the best announcer of all time.
He is awfully great.
Above the Fink, I'm afraid.
It is amazing how they stumbled upon him on accident. And then took him off TV for several months.
You know, I don't know. He's just so awesome. Like, I see this as, if you go to UFC events right now, you know, Bruce Buffer. People used to hate Bruce Buffer. But if UFC lost Bruce Buffer, it'd be a disaster. Because Bruce Buffer is, like, part of the game now. He's part of the experience. He's part of going to a live UFC. When he comes out at the end of the show and he does his ring intro, everybody chants along with Bruce Buffer. That's a pretty fucking cool deal.
Yeah.
You know, if Alberto, and at some point he will turn babyface, you know, I am hoping that at some point Alberto is the babyface and Ricardo Rodriguez goes out there and every week he does the most awesome ring intro of anyone in wrestling and the fans chant along with him. I think it'll be so awesome. He is so great. He's so great. So, there you go.
Hunter came out for the main event promo. Before you get too far, who should interrupt but Johnny Ace? He was actually booed, indicating people knew who he was. That surprised me.
Well, he came out at the pay-per-view. He's been on TV.
Yeah, the crowd just instinctively hated
him.
He's a stooge.
He is a stooge. WWE.com can't say it, so I will. He is a stooge!
Yep. So
he did you hear that story?
I did.
It's just preposterous.
They had
a writer doing a story about the
he was reporting on what happened at the pay-per-view.
Yes, and he reported that Vince McMahon's stooge, Johnny Ace, came out. And the next day, he had to issue a written apology for calling Johnny Ace a stooge. What does that tell you, by the way?
It tells me that I am ecstatic that I do not work for that company.
I just wanted to tell you that he had to apologize for calling Johnny Ace a stooge. It tells me a lot.
Yes. Tells you a lot about Johnny Ace and how he may be a little insecure.
A stooge.
You can't call me a stooge.
I love when he came out and you know, sometimes Vince is always trying to fuck with Jim Ross. He's always trying to bury him or something like that. And so there's a line in there about Johnny Ace coming out and saying he's the new, head of WWE Talent Relations. A job, he says, that he took from Jim Ross. And I'm like, really, that's something you want to bring up? Like, that's burying Jim Ross? Because, you know, Jim Ross, there were a hell of a lot more superstars when Jim Ross was in charge of developmental than there are today with you there, Johnny Ace.
Yeah. He came out. He said that Hunter was new to the corporate world, but he had been a part of the corporate WWE for 10 years. He knew Vince McMahon and how he thought, and he said Vince would want Hunter to strip Cena of his title. Cena came out. Said Laurinaitis was the yes man CM Punk was talking about. So here's John Cena agreeing with his main rival for the pay-per-view. He said Laurinaitis only wanted him stripped of the title because he laid Laurinaitis out at the pay-per-view. Called him a goon in a suit who used to carry a skateboard. No one cared because it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Laurinaitis said, whatever, CM Punk beat you, he should be champion. Cena talked about how great it would be to punch Ace in the face again. Laurinaitis looked to Hunter for help. Hunter said, I'm not going to help you. I think it's a good idea, or whatever he said. So Johnny Ace bailed, and that was that. So then Cena turned his attention to Hunter and asked him the following question. Are you going to strip me of this title because CM Punk beat me one time?
Yes. What, Ace? Who wrote that line?
I don't know. But you see, John, that's how title matches work. Unless you go back to a best of three falls, which would be fine. But the idea was, if he beat you one time, he would be the champion. And he did. And he is.
That was a completely idiotic line.
Hunter said he wasn't stripping Cena of anything. He explained that he had not spoken to Punk until during Cena's match with Ray. At which point, Punk walked up with a signed contract and said, hit my music. So then Punk interrupted here. He said, since you're not...
I do like that idea of the storyline where... So he sent Punk a contract, and Punk didn't even return his calls or return the contract or anything like that. But then, right after John Cena beat Ray for the title in a match that was not planned when Raw began, somehow CM Punk was at Raw with the contract, and he just showed up like a phantom and gave it to Triple H and said, hit my music, which apparently they had his music queued up, and out he went.
Well, theoretically, he could have faxed him the contract earlier in the week and put... Punk could have taken it upon himself.
Go ahead.
To go to the building and...
Well, Punk had the contract.
Sure.
Yeah.
There are stupider things they've done.
No. Hold on. Because the whole key here is that he wanted back because John Cena was the champion and he had beaten John Cena.
I see.
And why would he have gone to the building expecting the show to end with John Cena as the champion in a tournament that John Cena was not even in?
Well, it's not that, you're misunderstanding what Punk said earlier. He said... That he said he was sick of the place because anything ever changed. Then when he left, there was change. Vince left, so that's why he came back. After he decided to come back, Cena won the title again. So it was just in time that he came back.
I had a completely different impression. My impression was he came back because he had affected change, but then Cena won the title and all that change was gone, and so he had to return.
Well, I did not write it down, but I will say this. When they said 70,000 words, it's not surprising that one or two of them may have been misinterpreted.
Well, no. The problem is when you have six scripts for a show.
That too.
And then you have other scripts for SmackDown, which also reference something that happens on Raw. Then you have storylines that don't quite make sense.
There is also that. So anyway, He came out here. He said Hunter was going to strip him of the title and go back to the same old, same old. Cena protested something, and he called Hunter, Hunter, to which Hunter replied, "I'm your boss. Don't call me Hunter." Which begs the question, what should he call him? I'm hoping it goes to Mr. Helmsley.
Boss.
Sir?
Hmm.
Eventually, Hunter booked them against each other in a champion versus champion match at SummerSlam. They took turns holding up their belts, and they played each other's music, and that show ended.
I hated that, playing the music back and forth. It'd have been fine if they just each held their title up, and then people cheered for Cena. Then Punk holds up his, people cheer for Punk. Cena holds up his, they cheer for him. Punk, that's all fine, but some geek in the back frantically pushing the button back and forth, that was just goofy. That's just totally goofy.
Well, I was fine with it. It's pro wrestling. Who cares?
Because this is not supposed to be pro wrestling at this point. It's still supposed to be a shoot.
I see.
Let's play a song here. This man made this song, and I actually sent it back to him and said, told him to do something different with it.
What an asshole you are.
Well, no, you'll understand why here. Here we go. My friend, Witch Doctor. He taught me what to say. My friend, Witch Doctor. He taught me what to do. I
know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Goth Licks, Le Bye Goodbye.
Yeah.
You put me speaking Great Khalees in there.
No, the original did not have me saying Witch Doctor.
Oh.
Yeah. So I told him to put it in.
Wait a minute. So he actually took the Witch Doctor song after you talked about a Witch Doctor on the show and he didn't use you?
Well, I may have done it the day before we did it.
I see.
Anyway, Garrick put it back in and that was an awesome song, well, Garrick.
I will say this, Brian. You were right. That needed you saying Witch Doctor.
I thought that song was awesome. My friend, Witch Doctor. He taught me what to say. My friend, Witch Doctor. He taught me what to do. I
know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Goth Licks, Le Bye Goodbye.
I actually think he should make it longer.
I'm sure you could take that and a million other times of me tripping over my own mouth, and just you can find a million things I've said that sounded funny.
I think he should make that one longer. Garrick, give it a shot. See if you can make that one a full minute. I think that'd be awesome. Going back to the Witch Doctor on Thursday. Can't wait. I feel great.
Cool.
And I feel great after going to the Witch Doctor. So, like I said, you know, some people have said, hey, Brian, this is all bullshit. I don't give a fuck. If I feel better, great.
Go placebo.
Go placebo.
Yes, I'm right with you on that one.
I do not care at all. If I got my finger chopped off in something and some wacky witch doctor sprinkled fairy dust on me and my goddamn finger grew back that night, I don't give a shit if what he did was bullshit because my finger grew back. I totally don't care. So. And by the way, a lot of the links people sent me about what
witch
they
doctors?
Believed. Well, no, they went on Wikipedia and found some of the articles on the procedure, similar to the way that I explained it. But in fact, the procedures that they sent me were like some complete quackery. He did not do a lot of the things that that they claimed in some of these wacky articles. So anyway, all right, let's do TNT.
Yeah, we first we tried to find House of the Rising Sun, featuring Dave Bautista on Netflix. We couldn't find it.
No.
So we found something that I assure you was worse. We found an episode of Tuesday Night Titans, November 13th, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you are not familiar, this was a talk show hosted by Vince McMahon with wrestlers as guests. Vince opened the show. He had Lord Al Hayes there playing the part of Ed McMahon. He compared Al to a turkey. Al faked a laugh at this joke. First guest was Captain Lou, who came out to a chorus of boos. Talked about the various champions he had managed. He, as he was wont to do, was talking a million miles an hour. He said Worldwide Wrestling Federation about 100 times.
In 1984.
Yes. They had changed the name.
5 years earlier, yes. They changed the name.
But apparently, Captain Lou Albano, a creature of habit. He also said they had the best athletes on Earth over and over again. Vince McMahon was trying to calm him down. Couldn't do it. Captain Lou had a coughing fit. He was so excited, and Vince threw it to a match.
You know, I was watching Captain Lou, and I was just sitting there thinking, well, Larry Sweeney stole his act from Captain Lou. And then I just realized that every great talker of the 80s, Larry Sweeney stole his act from.
Yes.
You know what? Larry Sweeney was awesome.
Uh-huh.
So for those of you coming up in wrestling today, just steal. Just steal everything from everyone who's good.
JBL got a question on Facebook. Someone asked if he was upset that Alberto had stolen his gimmick. And he said, well, I stole it from Ted DiBiase and Larry Hagman, so great. That's what you do.
And I'm sure that they stole it from someone before them.
Sure they did.
All the way back to Adam.
Anything that's not being done now is fair game. Nindicarlo versus the Spoiler. Greg Valentine cut a promo on the house mic saying he was the Intercontinental Champion. He was not wrestling on this show because there was no competition. Albano joined him, saying this is just a little town. There was no need for the champ to wrestle for these geeks.
So he said, these geeks.
Yes.
1984.
They were burying the fans over the house mic as the match started. This match sucked multiple dicks. This was like two guys playing pro wrestlers on a Saturday Night Live skit. They did very little. What they did very slowly. Spoiler eventually pinned him with a claw hold.
He pinned him with a claw hold.
At this point, one of the announcers said, gotta have a powerful hand to be able to put that claw on a man's forehead.
He mounted him and pressed down on his face, and the man was pinned.
Then he would, after the match, he did not release the claw hold. He was trying to pop his head, apparently. So they went back to the studio.
Trying to squeeze him so hard that hair came out.
So after the, they went back to the studio. Captain Lou cut a promo about how the Spoiler developed superior grip strength by squeezing progressively stiffer series of leather balls until finally he could snap a pair of pliers in his hands. We do need more, wrestlers need to make outlandish claims like this again.
You don't say.
Yes, Jack Swagger used to talk about how he can crush pliers in his hands.
If you guys haven't, if you guys, like, all you watch is WWE, like, if you became a fan in, like, 2001, and it's the only wrestling you've ever watched, you need to get Classics on Demand and go back and watch what it used to be like. When Captain Lou came out on Tuesday Night Titans, and I'm sure the whole deal was, okay, just talk for 5 minutes, and then we'll go to a match. And so Lou Albano just came out and talked shit off the top of his head, complete and utter bullshit, for 5 minutes, and it was awesome.
Just lunatic ramblings.
Yeah.
So he came out on this show, by the way, big fat man in a bowling shirt.
No script, nothing.
No script. Are you kidding me?
No
script. After the break, Lou Albano was sitting on the couch, leaning back. He had opened his bowling shirt, exposing his enormous gut, sticking what appeared to be a marijuana leaf in the waistband of his sweatpants. Next guest was Barry Windham, who came out in blue jeans and a pink polo shirt. Vince asked him a question.
This was like such... Barry Windham was like... just... He was a baby face out of a fable. Tall.
He should have been riding a horse and and slaying dragons and saving damsels
blonde
in distress.
Blonde hair.
Yes.
All I do is work so hard at everything I do. I train in these sports and I just do my best.
And it took
I just
about,
go out there and do my best.
It took him about five tries to get started. Lou Albano was playing Michael Cole, burying literally everything he said. Then he belched openly and laughed at himself. So we got to match.
What a disgusting man.
Did I mention his enormous gut?
Every time Barry would start talking, he'd throw in some sort of snide remark.
You suddenly developed a twang.
Doing my Barry Windham impersonation.
I guess so.
I always give 110% in every sport I've ever done.
You're actually showing way more energy than he did.
Actually, I did.
Yeah.
I always train 110% in every sport that I do. Is that better?
It's still awful, but yes, it's better.
Awful? In what way? Still significantly better than Barry Windham?
He spoke, he was on a hayseed. He had a Texas drawl. Anyway, we saw him wrestling Charlie Fulton. Hillbilly Jim was in the stands. This is before he had debuted, so at this point he was just a large fan who showed up every week. I don't know if Windham was new to the territory, but there were a lot of people in the crowd chanting for Charlie. And it's not because he was a good wrestler, I assure you. They had an extended squash. Windham won. I missed the finish. I don't care. After this, they showed some very passionate grown men cheering for Windham. One of them may have been Andy Kaufman from Taxi. So we went back to the set. Albano was still burying Windham.
It was 1984.
Yeah.
It virtually was Andy Kaufman from Taxi.
It may actually have been Andy Kaufman, I guess. Albano advised Barry to go on a low-carb, high-protein diet to watch all the wrestling he could.
This actually was awesome. This was awesome. Because he kept interrupting. And so finally Vince is like, Lou, for fuck's sake, why don't, since you want to talk, give this young fella some advice. Mm-hmm. And Lou proceeds to give him awesome advice. He's talking about, you know, watch your diet. He didn't mention low carb, but watch your diet. He goes, whenever there's wrestling, no matter where you are or what you're doing, stop and watch the wrestling. Yes. And learn everything from it. Watch from backstage, watch all the matches and learn. He's giving all this great, like legitimately great advice for youngsters. And when it's done, Barry Windham just kind of looks at him and then just goes, now why should I listen to you?
And that was why should I listen to a slob like you?
Yeah. And it was like, well, I guess, you know.
Because he's right?
Well, you know, Barry's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to be a babyface and this guy's supposed to be a heel. So he can't just go, well, you're right about all that. So he had to say something. Uh-huh. But it's funny because, like, Lou blindsided him by giving him great advice. That's what I feel.
So he called a man a slob. Captain Lou went off. He said Barry Windham had the brain of a dehydrated BB. That's what he said.
I thought he said baby.
May have been baby. I'm not sure which is worse. So the next guest was Mike Rotundo. He came out in a plum sweater. Plum, I say. And a golf cap. Vince McMahon then began reading off the list of Mike Rotundo's accomplishments at the University of Syracuse. Imagine this in 2011. Yes.
Yeah.
So Mike was talking about going to Syracuse in a football scholarship. Albano was still doing his gimmick of just burying him all the time.
This was back, for those of you, again, who are new to professional wrestling or have only watched it for the last decade or so, you need to go back and watch this, because 1984 was back when Vince McMahon was not at all ashamed or embarrassed to be a professional wrestling promoter. He was proud of the fact. It was amazing. Talks about professional wrestlers. Wait till we get to the next segment here. That was
unreal.
Was completely surreal. In a number of ways.
We'll get right to it, because all that happened, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo defeated Mohammed Saad and Bobby Bass with a bulldog. That's all there was to it. So Rotundo was talking about how they were an effective tag team because they were not selfish. A band was running his mouth. Rotundo reminded him that he was Italian, which meant he had a bad temper. And then they started talking about all the other tag team titles they had won. They talked about winning titles in the Caribbean. Barry said that they were United States Tag Team Champions as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about Jim Crockett's belts.
Yeah.
You see.
That's not even the weirdest thing.
Yeah, but between that and the Syracuse stuff.
The next segment was far more surreal.
Between that and the Syracuse stuff, the idea of talking about accomplishments and achievements people had outside of the company. Using that as a promotional tool. To make them seem like larger stars, rather than something to be ashamed of.
Well, this was back before Vince went totally nuts.
Yes.
WWF, the WWWF, was part of the NWA for many years.
Yeah.
So, that's not completely... The surreal thing was the next segment, where they said that they were going to interview the oldest wrestling fan in the world. I was very excited.
But first, they had Rocky Johnson wrestle Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, Christ.
It was fucking terrible. Just horrendous. And Nikolai, they did not take bumps. They fell to their ass and rolled to their back. Just over and over. It was terrible. Nikolai pinned Rocky by dropping him neck first on the ropes. This was an affront to entertainment. It was also like 10 minutes long. Then we got Lloyd Lynch.
Yeah.
The world's oldest wrestling fan, we were told. So what happened was, a guy came out in terrible old man makeup, and they did jokes about how he couldn't walk on stage by himself and couldn't remember anything, and then he fell asleep. This program was on cable television in the 1980s, which means people had to pay money to watch this.
Yeah. The thing with this, it was so amazing. Besides how
that it made
it was,
TV,
was the fact that Lloyd Lynch's gimmick was supposed to be that he was old. He's the world's oldest wrestling fan, they said. So they bring him out, and Vince fucking McMahon, Vince McMahon, begins quizzing Lloyd Lofferson. What the hell was his last name?
I wrote down Lloyd Lynch.
Lloyd Lynch. He starts quizzing Lloyd Lynch on wrestling history. They begin talking about the Swedish Angel.
Yes.
They begin talking about Gorgeous George. This was incredible. I could not even believe they were talking about the history of professional wrestling. They were talking about wrestling from the 40s and the 50s. My mind was completely blown.
They also talked about a woman winning a match against a 400-pound wolf.
Well, there was that as well. This segment was no good.
Oh, God.
This segment was...
And it was on and on and on. It finally ended, and we think, finally, something better is going to happen. And they promised a David Sammartino match.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped watching the show. We gave up.
Yeah, David Sammartino came out, and I'd seen enough. I had seen enough. So anyway, there you go, everybody. That was that. And that brings us to the Shawn Michaels hunting show.
McMillan River Adventures.
Let me tell you about this show here very quickly. Because I was talking about this. This plays off something I was mentioning on Raw yesterday when we did the Raw report with Dave. You always see these boring 20-minute segments. Kind of was a thing on WWE TV forever for many years. The boring 20-minute opening promo. And I can't even tell you how many times I wrote. It took me 20 seconds to write that. It took them 20 minutes to say it. Because, for example, the final segment on Raw Monday night. The entire point of it was Triple H was going to announce that it was CM Punk versus John Cena, champion versus champion at SummerSlam. It took them 15 minutes to say that. That was the exact opposite of the opening segment, where they had an hour's worth of material to squeeze into 25. Anyway, the boring 20-minute promo used to be, 20 seconds of information that they stretched out for 20, 25 minutes. Well, McMillan River Adventures is a split second of action that needs to be stretched out for 30 minutes. Shawn Michaels and his buddy, Keith Mark, I believe is his name. Keith Mark, Vinny?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is his name, yes.
I was asking for a confirmation.
I did not realize you were asking a question. I thought you were making a statement.
Well, when I say Keith Mark, I mean, that right there is just a question.
that is his name.
So Shawn Michaels and Keith Mark, they go out and they kill an animal. Now, stretch that out to 30 minutes.
Yes.
And you've got McMillan River Adventures. This show was Shawn Michaels shooting a buffalo. So, we got a history of the buffalo. We got a history of the buffalo and its relationship to the Native Americans. We got facts about how many buffaloes there were after they were slaughtered. How many buffaloes there are today. Apparently, the buffalo population was down to 1,000. In, I believe it said the 1870s. Now it's up to the 10,000 mark. We had a lot of pictures of buffalo skulls. We had a lot of pictures of buffalo. A lot of video of buffalo. Just buffalo buffaloing around. And finally, Shawn shoots a buffalo, which Shawn Michaels noted does not sell.
That's his exact words. He didn't even sell.
He didn't even sell. The buffalo apparently took a gunshot and then just kind of stood there for a full minute before it fell down and died.
Yeah.
So then they go to commercial, they come back, and Shawn shoots the buffalo again. The buffalo again does not sell. And then the buffalo stands for a minute and dies. The exact same segment they'd shown earlier, but it's a half-hour show. So we got to stretch things out. So Shawn shoots the buffalo. He then gives a speech about what a warrior this animal was, how it didn't even flinch, and how this is a profound moment in his life. And then they go to the buffalo, they look at the buffalo, they talk more about what a warrior the buffalo is, then we get more buffalo facts, and then the show ends. A fascinating program.
This was
a hunting show, though.
This was a hunting show. This was the... Because we had talked about it before, how the first three or four of these we had watched, we had no idea what the show was supposed to be. The first one was mostly about Sean going to the Hall of Fame. The next one was mostly Charlton Heston cutting a promo on us. The next one was Michael Cole being whatever the hell that was. This week, two men went hunting, killed a buffalo, talked about why it was important. That's what a hunting show is. So, If you're a wrestling fan who wants to watch this show just to see silliness, this is not the show for you. If you're a hunting person, probably a great show for you. The only other thing I really got out of this was the last thing on the show was they were talking about how I believe they called him the greatest Sioux chief of all time was Sitting Bull. And they showed his gravesite, and they showed his Sitting Bull and his native name, which was, in fact, Tatanka. So when they called Tatanka that, they were not just pulling that out of their ass.
There you go, everybody. The shooting show.
Yeah.
What a review that was.
Just remember, when you can get more of these shows...
What a review that was.
For money.
That's right. We got to do shout-outs here. I don't even know when the last time we did shout-outs were. Do you remember the last shout-out that we did?
No. I'm trying to think of something funny to say there, and I failed.
Did we do the one about the guy that hates the blues music?
I don't think so.
I think we did. The TNA logo tattoo? Did we talk about that?
I know you and I did. I don't know if we got a shout-out that did. You don't keep track of which shout-outs you've read?
Well, we did a show 2 weeks ago, but I don't think I did shout-out, so I'm...
Start reading them, and we'll see if I remember.
All right. This is from Chris. My name is Chris from the jolly old UK. Brand new subscriber as of last week. Just wanted to get my shout-out in. And at the same time, thank you for the superb audio, up-to-date breaking news on the site, and overall value for money service. Brighty Video Show is my particular favorite of the audio you guys do, and I must mention before I go that I've never laughed so much as I did at your comments on the, quote, punch to the non-balls of Velvet Sky during last week's Impact review. Simply comedy genius. Keep up the great work, and I hope to meet you at an F4W convention in the years to come. From Chris, who is also available via Facebook, he says.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That was a fine shout-out, and I don't think we'd heard it before.
It was a fine shout-out.
Hope to see you at a convention as well, especially if you go to Vegas, since that's the only one.
How about this one? From the Galuchador?
Galuchador?
Yeah.
I remember that, I think.
I think I remember the Galuchador, but I'll try it again. Let's see. Brothers, I want to finally cash in the shout-out briefcase. Been a subscriber for about a year. Couldn't be happier with it. Shout-outs go to my homeboy, Nick, who came home, who come Sunday will be getting his in the epic... early 3rd of July party. 3rd of July?
Oh, dear.
What the fuck is going on here?
It has been a long time since we've done shout-outs.
It has been. We can't be going on. I remember the Galuchador. Really? The 3rd of July? I gotta figure this out. Hold on, everybody. Well, that was easy. Apparently, the last shout-outs we did were July 6th. God, I got a lot of shout-outs here. All right, well, might as well jump right damn into it. It's from James, the bike thief. Brian Mann and Vince Smith, I'm nearing the end of a difficult day and a half journey from England to a really remote part of Belgium. And as I sit at Iwale station waiting for a taxi, I thought, what better time to cash in my shout-out? Trains were delayed, I got fantastically lost in Brussels, and I'm sick of dragging this fuck suitcase around. The only thing that keeps my spirits up is listening to the entire month of Brian and Vinny's shows from September of 2007. Came up with a good word, chaps. I hope I sent it to the right email address. The email link on the shout-outs page was garbled. Not sure about that. That's from the bike thief.
You know, my bike was stolen once.
That's right.
This fucker stole my bike. I'm going to kick his ass.
Well, seeing as to how he's in Belgium.
It was 15 years ago. He could have moved.
Most likely he did not steal your bicycle.
Stop stealing bikes.
This is from a last man whose last name is Snarky, which is a word I have in fact been called before. Brian and Vinny have been a subscriber since February 2011. Your shows have made my job exceptionally better. Listening to the 2007 shows leading up to WrestleMania. And even though I lived through it already, you two reviewing it makes it seem so much better than it was. Vinny, you are the man. Enough said. So here's a question for you two. When you first got into wrestling as a child, what move did you perform after seeing it and actually hurt yourself? Mine was after watching Tom Zenk and Bobby Eaton in WCW. Eaton delivered the Alabama Jam off the top rope. I couldn't wait to mimic it the first chance I got. I was in the 8th grade, saw a kid body slam another kid. I was standing at the top of the bleachers and decided that this was the perfect opportunity to deliver the flying leg drop on the body slammed victim, which ultimately broke my tailbone as I overshot my target. Well, goddamn, you're lucky you overshot the fucking target. You'd have killed that kid.
Yeah, that's true.
Share with us any follies that wrestling skewed you as a child or until you smartened up.
I just remember in like fourth grade, me and my friends would basically kill each other. we didn't, at the time, we thought it was all real. So we would just take turns slamming the hell out of each other onto the ground.
What a dumb shit.
Not making any of this up.
I didn't get really hurt doing...
I didn't get hurt either.
I got hurt when I was really wrestling. In fact, when I was always off something stupid, a seated drop kick. I once blew out my knee taking a snake eyes. Think about that.
That's pretty remarkable.
It's from Ricky. Brian and Vinny, I want to tell you guys your show is the single best review show in all of multimedia entertainment. Drive a lot in my daily life. Your shows not only make the drives go by faster, but they make them enjoyable experiences. Your show always makes me laugh several times. You always guys say, this show sucks. But whenever you guys say those things, just remind me how great the shows are. You guys are truly tremendous at what you do. I don't think you even realize it. Oh, I realize it. I do feel that sometimes you guys, after you do these shows, just have a really bad taste in your mouth about wrestling. Talk about
don't
how
say.
Bad Raw, SmackDown, Impact, even 24/7 sometimes is. I think you guys should start watching more stuff that will make you happy while watching wrestling. Brian, you say you might start watching Chikara's King of Trios a few weeks back. Maybe something like that will make you feel happy about wrestling. Try something, some more old-school stuff on 24/7. How ironic. And maybe even some ROH shows aside from the iPay-per-views. My shout-outs are to you guys, everyone who listens to these shows, the famous Truth Slayer. Sorry if this has gone on too long, but I truly feel you guys have the best wrestling podcast all over the internet. I just want you guys to have fun while you do what you do best. Entertain us all over the world. That is from Ricky. And he says, P.S. If you aren't a subscriber to the website, what is wrong with you? By listening to the free shows every 2 weeks, you're admitting that you really enjoy the work. Why not pay $10 a month to see the show twice a week, every week, and tons of other great podcasts? That's a great shout-out from that fellow Ricky.
Our show does suck, though. He's wrong there.
Listen, we got to review Raw and SmackDown, and if they suck, they suck. I know it sucks,
Let's be honest. Well, what percentage of our appeal would you say is us tearing Impact apart? A simple majority, I'm sure. At least 50%.
I'd say so.
Probably a lot more.
I just want to wish a happy birthday to Tofino. July 6th with his 40th birthday. And it's now August 3rd.
Happy birthday!
That's how long it's been since we've done shout-outs. But a very happy birthday to Tofino here on his birthday. And he wants us to play Landstorm Leg Drop Blues. And I don't think I have that one here. I don't even know where that would be. I'll give it one quick check here. And if I don't have it, I don't have it. Oh, I do have it. Let's play it here for Tofino.
I had a friend named
Johnny the Bull
who used to
run, jump, rip the top rope, land on the top rope, and then spring out and land on his ass on the crash pad on the floor.
How ironic.
He was the smartest.
Another man who broke his ass.
But I found out last Monday that
Johnny the Bull's glams Terry on the floor or snapmares on the floor or whatever and puts a chair on Terry's face.
They've got him in the
Nitro
way downtown.
He tore his urethra away from his bladder. He tore his urethra away from his bladder.
I told him once or twice to put
the springboard leg drop to the floor. He tore his urethra away from his bladder.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Hooray, hooray. Hooray, hooray.
So that fella earlier is lucky he only broke his damn tailbone. He could have torn his urethra away from his bladder.
I would much rather break my tailbone than tear my urethra away from my bladder.
I didn't know I had a urethra.
Oh my god.
I thought that was only women. Maybe that's a uterus.
Oh, how about a uvula? Do you have one of those?
Lance is listening. All right, this is from Adam. Member of the site for about a year, lifelong subscriber, coming up on 4 decades. To the Observer newsletter.
Oh. I thought I was very confused for a minute there.
Occasional contributor to the site and the Ultimate Fighter Report for the first few seasons. Covered some live Ring of Honor. Now I'm finally cashing in my shout-up. Audio content was invaluable to Jim during my efforts to trim down to ether weight, which I accomplished. The Brian and Vinny Show, my personal favorite, even motivated me to start my own podcast, Idiots Talking Nonsense.
That's our gimmick.
I was going to say, hold on a second. Anyway, it's at podomatic.com. On the show, we cover only sporting events we know nothing about.
Also our gimmick.
Sounds like me. Check out our debut episode on bull riding, and then email us your thoughts at idiotstalkingnonsense@gmail.com. Freeloaders, you're fucking insane. I promise that if you listen to these free shows, you will love a subscription to the site. You're missing a veritable boatload of awesome new audio shows every week, plus the entire archive. $10.99 a month. Madness! Complete no-brainer. Sign up right fucking now. I promise you will not regret it. He says, thank guys, be well, and keep up the great work. Hope to see you in Vegas this year. That is from Peligro from Detroit, Michigan. A fine man, this Adam. And I cannot wait to see him in Vegas this year.
That was a hell of a shout-out.
That was a hell of a shout-out. 40 years reading The Observer, for God's sake. That's a long-ass time. Alexander here, Alex Goff. I would like to use my shout-out to make a plea to Ed.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
A plea to Ed to find positivity in his life. Just recently, Ed has made Granny upset. Seems like he is hell-bent on making sure Rodney and I don't become friends. Ed also chose to big-time me in Atlanta, but that is a different story. I hope that Ed finds the happiness that those like Matt Cleary, who is a great man, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. Matt Cleary is a great fella. Matt Cleary and Rodney, so he doesn't have to try and divide potential friends. I would also like to send a shout-out to my wife, who is great. Thanks for producing the best wrestling audio on the internet. Alex is a great guy. I would never big-time Alex Goff, unlike that fucker Ed. All right. Shout out from ROH Pete. Brian, I thought I would cash in my shout out after being a member for a while. I'd like to pay a big shout out to you and Vinny and Granny. Also, Everton Football Club, my two kids, Faith and Charlie, and the National Autistic Society. And a big fuck you, Liverpool Football Club, David Cameron, and one PW owner, Danny Rod. Opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of myself and Vinny. Just want to throw that out there. Keep up the great work. Tell Granny a lot of us think her spot is the highlight of the week. Well, that's undoubtedly true.
She would agree.
That's from ROH Pete right there. All right, this is from, what do we got here? Dan. Because today, July 26th, is my 26th birthday. I'm cashing in my shout-out. Everyone involved in the site does a great job. Brian and Vinny are like war reporters on the front lines, observing the unspeakable horrors of TNA, so I don't have to. My fellow UCLA Bruin, Todd Martin, is a man who does not mince words or fuck around. I joined up last summer, so I'd have tons of audio for a cross-country drive, and I've been hooked ever since. I'm even on the board. And, in the Tiffany voice, what a cast of characters! I love the episode where Brian and Vinny review the first season of NXT. Darren Young could win 15 world championships, and he'd still be the immeasurable strength guy to me. If either of you
attend... That was a great episode.
If either of you attend Bola this year, I hope to see the immeasurable strength.
Darren Young possesses... He has read it. It was written down.
Yeah.
Darren Young possesses immeasurable strength.
He can bench press so much that there's no calculator that can add up all the weight.
All the weight they could find.
It's immeasurable.
And then sat on the bar.
I'm the Dan Peck Show on Twitter. Follow me and life will improve. From Dan Peck. Alrighty. This is from Tyler. Brian and Vinny, my name is Tyler. I'm 20 from Kentucky. I just subscribed after freeloading for months. You guys offer so much for $10.99 that naturally I felt guilty about it and decided to finally subscribe. My username is Unspeaking, and I hope to be a asset to the board. I hope so, too. I'd like to give shouts to the following. My Chihuahua, Teco. He recently had most of his teeth removed and only has four left. That poor bugger. He needs
sucks.
A shout-out. He needs a bark-out. My fleshlight that I bought when I was 18. Oh, dear. It has been hidden in the top of my closet inside my Xbox 360 for 2 years. My mom has yet to find it. Well, homie, you better hope she doesn't listen to this show.
Or that she doesn't know what a fleshlight is, which hopefully is true.
Well, she's going to look in his Xbox and it'll be an eye-opener.
Oh, what a conversation this will be. Yeah, report back on this one, too. I realize this is a month old now.
Low-carb diets. I sincerely believe anyone overweight should be on one. Ah, so does Lou Albano.
Maybe this is Lou. How old is this?
And Gillette Clear Gel Deodorant. You can go days without taking a shower with this stuff.
Don't recommend that.
I can go days without taking a shower with no Gillette. It's not good, but I could. Unspeaking.
When I got home, or got here, I opened the door, and Brian's standing in front of me in slacks, wet hair, and no shirt.
Sexy, huh?
What happened?
I just got back from 2 straight hours of rolling.
In your slacks?
Well, no, but I didn't come home in my gi pants. I put my clothes back on.
All right.
Just re-up my subscription. And by the way, Tony kicked my ass.
Did he?
He's losing weight and he's feeling heavier.
That's weird.
That's what happens when you improve.
I see.
Just re-up my subscription and realize the August 2nd marked my 5th anniversary as an F4W member. Can't seem to remember a time without F4W online. Seems like ages ago. Thanks for all the great work over the years, especially you, Vinny.
Oh, right.
Come on. Quick shout out to my girlfriend and our first child due in October. It is a girl!
Name her
Vinny. That's from Raul, SD Jonesing on the board. And in fact, because SD Jonesing is procreating, when the little bugger is born, you get a free shout out. So email us back and we'll give a shout out to your daughter, who I'm sure, I don't know, Faith. Call her Faith.
Or Charlie.
And finally here from Paul, Des Walker on the board. I've been a subscriber for about 2.5 years, finally cashing in my free shout out. Told many people, I'll continue to tell them, that the $11 a month I spend on my subscription is the best $11 I spend every month. I have more audio content to listen to than I can possibly need. It's just a bonus. Wrestling Observer itself is worth more than the $11 a month. Plus, I've got all the archived issues and even the F4W newsletter if I'm really bored. How dare you? It's also a very special reason I'm cashing in my shout-out. For anyone that was at the Vegas convention, you know that this year I brought my son, Dez Jr., along. And it's true. He just turned 20 on August 13th. He's taking an ST plunge into marriage. I want to wish him nothing but the best. He and I both made a lot of good friends in Vegas this year, and he's hoping that his new wife will come along with him next year to the convention, or at the very least will allow him to attend.
I was going to say, maybe wiser to leave her at home. Prove better in the long run.
Also want to spend a special shout out to a few people I met or were reacquainted with in Vegas this year. Canadian crew of Doc G and Lady G. Fine, fine folks. Freeway and Jessica. Sideswipe, I'm sure there are a few others. Also shout across the pond to Dazza, a fine man. Thanks for the Jaffa cakes, he says. And the stars of the new remake of The Odd Couple, Jakey and Teddy Long. Also, a very special shout-out to Bridget and Whitney, who are much too good for the men that they're with.
Amen.
Come on, now. It's true, but keep up the good work, fellas. See you next year, if not sooner. That's from Paul Fontaine, Des Walker on the board. Best of luck to Des Jr. I just celebrated my one-year anniversary. It's been a great year. So, hope everything goes well with Des Jr. Marriage is a good thing, if you do it right. If you don't,
I hear it can suck.
It's not a good thing. So I've heard. All right, everybody. I am spent. It's an hour and 20 minutes into the show. After getting my ass handed to me by Tony, I got to go to bed. So thanks all for listening. Tomorrow we'll be back. Todd Martin's going to be on the show. Dave's going to be on the show. We got Landstorm coming up this week. Of course, the new Observer is going to be up tomorrow. 2 Observers this week. New Figure 4 up soon. So much stuff. So that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.